When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And you can probably hear in my voice that I did indeed come down with that bug that's been going around. Everybody's been getting sick lately, and I tried to dodge it, and I got hit square in the face with a nasty cold. Probably because this week I will have wound up teaching, as of tomorrow, I'll probably have wound up teaching almost 800 kids this week, and that many children in enclosed spaces, I can't even think about how many germs I was exposed to. And, you know, I did all the right things. I tried to get plenty of sleep. I took plenty of vitamin C, and I just couldn't avoid it. And I am astonished at the strength of this cold that has been going around. The people who have been complaining on Twitter about how bad it is weren't lying. I can't even keep up with this, with how much mucus my body is producing. It's incredible. But bodily fluids notwithstanding, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today, shall we? And I promised you guys that upon finishing the Kids Read Comics extravaganza that I'd share a few strategies, techniques, and other things, collecting things to think about when starting up an art event in your town. Because this is something we've been talking about in the Art and Story podcast for a while now, last couple episodes. Getting more people mobilized to be art advocates and trying to find a place to, trying to start up some kind of public event in order to, well, let's just start at the top. Let's start with why would you do it? And I know I've talked about this in Art and Story. I may be repeating myself, but so be it. You know, this frames the little essay today, right? What does it accomplish? It accomplishes a couple really good things. One, probably most important for me, is it gets more people thinking about and excited about comics. I just did a talk for 500 kids at an elementary school in Chelsea, Michigan. And I've heard from, a handful of parents who reported that their kids came home, had never expressed an interest in being a comic storyteller before, but were suddenly just on fire and had to draw comics when they got home. Now, I did this talk at noon. It was more like 10 o'clock in the morning at the school. So the kids were getting home upwards of 5 hours after this talk, and they were still excited about it. For a little kid to retain that kind of excitement for that long is pretty impressive to me, and that, you know, fills my heart with joy. So that's the kind of thing that a public event can do, is you can get people riveted and motivated and really excited to, if not make comics, at least to read more comics, okay? Two is it raises your status as a local celebrity in the town. I may have reported on this before, but I went to a play a while back and in Chelsea, Michigan, where I'm the artist in residence right now. And so I've been doing a lot of programming there. And I got recognized by one of the locals who came up to me and were just happy to see me because I'm that guy who made them feel good about comics. So and what's more is I've also reported on the experience of having kids who are suddenly aware of my work now to the point where they can quote it when they attend my workshops. These are little kids who don't read a lot of webcomics, right? Webcomics traditionally are something more enjoyed by teens and adults, not so much 10-year-olds, as far as my experience anyway. So that's kind of cool. And also, you know, if you this is a great way, as I'm going to talk about in a few minutes here, to get yourself gigs leading workshops and other events at local venues. Which is also a great way to elevate your status as a local celebrity. And I say celebrity just as a placeholder word. I don't know what other word to use for that. You guys know how I feel about that whole celebrity thing. So how do you get something like this started? I can see somebody out there saying to me, so what? There's no comic shop in my town. The library that I in my town doesn't have any money. Maybe the local art center poo-poos the whole idea of comics in general. Or even none of these places exist in my town. Where do I go to get a venue for something like this? Well, first I want to say it doesn't have to be anything big. In Michigan, in Southeast Michigan, we have the Ypsilanti Inkenstein, which was started by Katie Cook of KatieCanDraw.com and David Peterson of the famous comic Mouse Guard. And they just went to a local pub and sort of just put out the word on the internet, on the social networks, and said, hey, we're going to meet here and we're going to draw. And so no cost, no real comics event, no workshops or anything like that. It's just a way for local cartoonists to meet one another, a meet and greet, and just sit around and draw and drink beer. That's fun. And I attended a couple of those. And when a bunch of cartoonists are sitting at a table drawing together, you do get the passersby looking over your shoulder going, what are you doing there? What's going on here? What's so fun? Oh, hey, you're a cartoonist. So there is that public interaction, a low risk public interaction. That's one way to get it started if you don't have any other venues. But even so, most towns do have public libraries or, public libraries have like public spaces that you can actually reserve, or some kind of community art center, an art store, where you can engage in a dialogue with them about starting up something like this. Because if they're an art store or a community art center or even a public library, they want to get more of the public through those doors. If you haven't listened to Comics Are Great episode 12, it's at comicsaregreat.com/CAG1212. We talk about this extensively in that episode, about the whole idea of the libraries trying to serve 100% of their population. So they want to get people in the door. And if you can present them with something that sounds like it's going to get people in the door, where it's not just a self-indulgent, self-promotional event, they're probably going to get behind it. So how do you communicate that to them? This is the trick. And I said before in past talks, this idea of if you're going to approach these people, have a plan, have a vision for what this thing is going to be. Well, how do you define that vision? Well, you should be able to clearly say in one sentence or two, who is this event going to serve? So when I approached the Ann Arbor Art Center, I said, this event will get people into the art center who have never stepped foot into the art center before because they don't think of it as a place to get comics programming. It's also going to serve people who have a passing interest in comics but have never tried to make them before. So it appeals to the novice comics creator. That's the way we're going to market it, is learn how to make comics. But it's also going to appeal to comics enthusiasts because we're going to bring in local cartoonists from around the state to lead interactive workshops. So Katie Cook, she's kind of a draw. Matt Fizzell, he's kind of a draw. We're bringing in those people to lead workshops. So we're also going to bring in traditional comics fans as well. Okay, so I've defined the audience. These are the people you can expect to show up. What will happen at your event? This needs to be clearly spelled out too. And if you can use a graphic or photos, use photos of other people's events if you have to, but give some kind of visual representation of what's going to happen at the event for the prospective venue. Because if any of you have ever done freelance work, you know how hard it is sometimes to communicate to a client something just in words. They need to see a graphic or a visual. When it came to the Art Center with the KRC extravaganza, they really did not have an idea on what I wanted to do there until I did a floor plan. Here's the floor plan. Here's how the traffic's going to flow. And here is a graphical representation of the timeline of events showing each hour and what events are going to be happening at each of those hours. Then all of a sudden they were like, oh, now I get it. Now this makes sense to me. So having a clear definition of what you want to have happen that day, is it going to be a workshop? Is it going to be a public a quick draw event where it's just like it's a low risk sort of two artists getting up and doing a little performance with art for people? Is it going to be creators just doing free sketches? That was one of the things we did at the KRC extravaganza. We just had a table where we had three or four artists just sitting down giving away free sketches to kids. Then it comes into, how is the venue going to benefit from this beyond getting people to come in the door? Now, a public library, they're not going to care about this so much. They're just happy to get people in the door. They don't charge for things, typically. They typically do their events for free because taxpayer dollars pay for the building's operations. But if it's a community art center or a comic store or an art store, you want to create some kind of incentive for them to justify the use of their space. So you try to find, what I did with the Ann Arbor Art Center is I tried to find means to say, this is how you will make money off of this thing. So for one, we had an art exhibition of comics art. So all the artists who participated hung art in the gallery, and it was sold at a 50% commission, 50% going to the Ann Arbor Art Center. That's one way they could make money. The other way was, as I said, let's set up a donation jar next to the free sketch table. And as the artists are giving away free sketches, we inform the parents that we're trying to raise money for the Ann Arbor Art Center. So here you are getting this free sketch with a suggested retail price of $20. You know, maybe you could throw $5 into the kitty here And what's more is I didn't even have to do that. They assigned, the Art Center got a volunteer from their own staff to do that because that is the person acting on behalf of the Art Center, not me. I'm bringing in the talent. I'm bringing in the event. They met me halfway and provided me with volunteers to help facilitate the event. That's another thing you can negotiate in those meetings. Say, in your vision, in your plan, say, I will need X amount of volunteers for this event. So how do you get a budget? And how do you get promotional considerations for this kind of thing? How do you get the word out? Because that's hard, too. That's really hard, especially, you know, I've talked before. I mean, like, it took a couple of years of doing a lot of little one-off workshops in the Ann Arbor area to get to the point where now I've got almost my entire year booked for workshops. As a matter of fact, this week, I will not have had a day off from leading a workshop for about 12 days between this week and next. It's pretty crazy. And that's great, you know, and I'm super excited about it. But how do you get the word out for something brand new? Because the KRC Extravaganza was new, and we wound up getting about 200 kids through the door over the course of the day, which is less than what I had hoped for, but more than what my worst case scenario imagining was for this thing. And there was a couple ways that I achieved this, getting the word out. One is I partnered with the Ann Arbor Art Center to put signage all over the building, so that communicated the message to their, you know, their ongoing clients. But then I thought, okay, what local businesses would be interested in making this thing successful? What businesses would have skin in the game to get more people excited about comics? Well, there was the local comics shop, which was just down the street from the Ann Arbor Art Center, the Vault of Midnight. I went into the store when the owner was there, and I talked to him about it. I explained to him what the vision of the event was. It's a totally free event. We're hoping to get a couple hundred kids through the door, and I'd love to take the opportunity to share some of that traffic with you. So if you want to give us a stack of coupons to carry at our event, we'll give them out to all the attendees, and we'll tell them and to come to your store during the day. If you would love to, as a reciprocal deal, if you'd put up some signs and carry some flyers for our event in your store. And he said that'd be great. And then through our discussions, we kind of went into some more ambitious territories where I said, well, would it be possible that I could send some of the artists from my event to your store to do signings so they could sell some of their work and sign some books? Then the artists have some extra skin in the game. They have a way to make money off of this event. And you get the extra foot traffic in your store as we're pointing people over there. Go see Janie Ho as she's signing her books over at the Vault of Midnight. And he agreed to that, too. So great, okay, just starting a dialogue with a business, even though I'd never really talked to these people before, even though I've lived in Ann Arbor for 5 years, it amounted to a business partnership for this event. I also approached some of the other local art centers. So the 826 Michigan organization is just down the street from the Ann Arbor Art Center. They want to get kids excited about availing themselves of hands-on workshops. So I asked them, would you be interested in carrying some flyers for our event? And we'd be glad to thank you on our website to point people at another place in Ann Arbor to get this kind of programming. And they said, yes, indeed. And then this is where an unexpected benefit can happen in pursuing these partnerships. So I did a lot of beating the street, okay? I spent a lot of time driving in my car, going to businesses to talk with them about this event and try to get some get the posters put up in as many places as possible. But when it came to 826, when I approached them, they said, hey, you know, we've been hearing a lot about you lately through your talk at Ignite and with the workshops you do at the Ann Arbor District Library and at the Ann Arbor Art Center. Would you be interested in leading some workshops for us? Are you kidding me? Of course I would. So I just penned a deal with them where I'm going to be leading to sort of piloting two new comics programs at 826 Michigan in downtown Ann Arbor in May. So that I wasn't even looking for that, but there it was. That opportunity presented itself without me having to make a cold call or approach them saying, look, are you hiring or anything like that? Just me approaching them about something else I'm putting together. And I think probably part of it had to do with the fact that I had been doing some work in Ann Arbor that they'd heard about. But also, if you have the gumption to put together an event, then you probably are going to be able to put together a pretty good workshop. So I think that worked in my favor as well. Also, you can look at sponsorships. Now, it's tough. You know, everybody's using to this day, I mean, it's been going on for about 3 years now, the economy card. Everybody says, oh, money's tight, money's tight. Everybody wants something for nothing. I am becoming, what am I trying to say? I've developed the opinion that this is something that needs to be stamped out, that advocacy does not necessarily mean it comes for free. And a lot of advocacy organizations, well, I don't want to say a lot, but at least a handful of the ones I've worked with have tried playing the free card and the economy card with me. Well, we're an arts advocacy group, so we really don't have a lot of money, so can you do it for free for us? You know what? No, I'm not going to do that anymore. My time is worth something, and I'm not trying to take advantage of anybody, but I'm going to try to make sure that things get covered. For instance, the Kids Read Comics Super Fun Tour, where I'm visiting 21 libraries around the state, driving over 2,200 miles over the course of the next 2 months to do all these free workshops to promote Kids Read Comics. I turned to the fellow organizers and I said, how can we get my mileage at least covered? How can we get 50 cents a mile paid for in some way so that I'm not just putting a bunch of wear and tear on my car, so that I'm not looking to make a salary here, but I am looking to at least have some of my expenses covered? And so we pursued the idea of having sponsorships, where we opened up the door to local businesses around the state, and then eventually to all cartoonists. I made some noise about this on the Twitters a week ago, to pay for a sponsorship slot in some of the media that we are going to be distributing to the kids at all of these Super Fun Tour stops. So that wound up covering a good chunk of my expenses for that trip. And you could pursue the same kind of thing for an event like this. Like, for instance, I wanted to make sure that the artists at the Kids Read Comics Extravaganza, the event at the Art Center, I wanted to make sure they got fed. So I started approaching some local businesses, some local food places, and the Art Center did as well. We started calling around saying, who can donate food to this event to be considered a sponsor so we can get a free meal for the artists at least. We'll make the artists feel good, make them feel better about donating their time to lead these free workshops, especially in the case of some of them where we're driving like an hour and a half to be there. I wanted to make sure that they were compensated in some way, at least with a meal. And it turns out that at least one of the places offered us a discount. We didn't get a free meal, but we at least got a discount on food. So it wasn't too much out of my pocket to pay for lunch. But in future events, now that the KRC Extravaganza has been established, and if it's going to be institutionalized at the Ann Arbor Art Center, which it might be, I have more of a leg to stand on next time to say to these food businesses, look, we're going to have 200 people coming through the door, or at least over the course of the day. If you can provide us with a free lunch, we will be happy to carry coupons for your business in our event, in the giveaway table, where we're going to have free comic books and a whole bunch of other media for people who are attending the show. So you can look at a sponsorship kind of deal as a means to subsidize the overall cost of this event. And it's not too hard to do. You just have to do a lot of legwork and calling people around. So there's at least a few overview thoughts on getting something like this started up. And you know, it doesn't have to be anything where it's even free. One of the models we discussed with the Art Center event was charging for the workshops, because they have the infrastructure. They charge for workshops all the time and for classes. So it'd be no leap on their part to charge for the workshops. I talked them out of it because I thought, well, this is a Kids Read Comics event. The theme, or one of the sort of part of the spirit of Kids Read Comics, is providing free access to learning and information and celebration of comics. And I think it would work against us and our overall mission if we put a paywall in front of any of the workshops, especially because we're bringing in other artists to lead these workshops and we're not paying them for that. So just to keep things clean, let's not do that. But if you say you are the organizer of your event and you are leading all of the workshops, now you can forge a business relationship with your local art store or art center or whatever, or comic store. And you could charge for that. Do a 50-50 split with the venue. You make a little bit of money. Maybe you put the money back into the show. Maybe that money goes into paying for the meals or pays for promotional materials. There's a lot of ways to approach this idea of just being a little creative with where's the money going to come from. But that is a big one. That's a big umbrella that I want to put over top of this, is that these events, even something like the Ipsy Inkenstein, takes effort, and it does take some money to put together in terms of promoting it if you want to get the word out and if you want to get the public to show up. So it's just you have to be mindful of asking creators for their time. And if you are going to have them donate their time, try to find some way for them to be compensated. Try to find some way for the venue to be compensated. And try to do this in a way where, at least in my opinion, where the public isn't really aware of what's going into it. They're just there for the party. And if you make it too, if you lean on them too much for donations, like if you have like something the Shadow Art Fair does, where they have like a donation jar at the door, like suggested, it's free to get in, but there's a suggested donation of $5. That's not too obtrusive, but if you're always doing the PBS thing where you're leaning on them about how much work and effort and money goes into making this event, nobody's going to have a good time. So you want to keep the celebratory effect there. But just a simple donation jar prominently placed at the front door, or a donation jar next to a bunch of artists giving away sketches where you can kind of, you know, inform the parents that, you know, we're collecting money for this thing if you want more events like this. Charging for events, that's a possibility. But then also looking into sponsorships, because whether it's a restaurant or a local comic store or an art store or a bookstore, even for that matter, they all have a vested interest in getting the public to turn out for events and use the downtown area, whatever it is, right? So it's worthwhile to approach them and at least ask. There's nothing, no harm done in asking. So, okay, them's my thoughts for today. I got to blow my nose and I don't want to do it on mic. Oh, listen to me. I sound so old with this cold. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. I know I'm going to be using some of my art and story money to get me some cold medicine so I can get over this thing as quickly as possible and get back to sounding like my normal, whiny, brainy Smurf self. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
Today was a day for surprises, and the biggest one of all was Skeletor and He-Man working together. By joining their powers, He-Man and Skeletor were able to stop Evil Seed. Working with others can sometimes be difficult, but if you listen to and respect the ideas of others, even when you don't agree with them, you'll find it's easier to get the job done. And who knows, you may even learn something.